All right, here we go. Nope.
You have a notebook.
Well, we're ready, but are
that
you?
I do. I can tell you're a professional.
I take notes.
Good job.
Otherwise, I won't remember what we talk about.
I never remember what we're talking about.
So, yes, I have to sit there and write it all down.
That's good.
I also come up with title, like, episode titles as we're going.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I remember that. Yeah.
All right. Let's try that again. What are you laughing at?
Just you. You're just a consummate professional.
Oh, whatever.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris and John is not here. So John is on a super secret mission and parts unknown. So instead of the thing that I did last time when he was not here and subject you guys to 12 minutes of just me, I've actually brought people in. So with me for the next couple of weeks is Brandon.
Woohoo!
And Kristen.
Hello.
And I used to work with Brandon. We worked together. Well, not together. We worked in the same building for a while.
So you won't even claim to working with me?
Well, it's not like we ever did anything to get... Well, okay. I take that back.
Lunch?
We... The three of us did the two shorts that Havoc Creative did in the past year. Mm-hmm. You guys helped me on Last Starfighter, and you guys also helped me on the Star Wars one.
Yep.
You allowed us to be involved.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't know if we helped as much as we were, you know.
So Kristen and Bren are going to be sitting in for the next couple of weeks and just shooting the shit. We can curse on this. You guys can say whatever the fuck you want.
Okay.
Shit.
Yes. There is nothing. I know you guys are used to radio.
Penis.
Yes.
That's not a curse word.
A course.
What's a course?
Course. It's a course.
About 12
word.
Bucks. Oh.
So this is going to be a little different. So we're all sitting in the same room. It's not like when, you know, John and I do this over Skype. So Brandon's already making fun of the fact that I have a notebook. Somebody has to take notes. Because
Kristen normally takes notes.
The secretary.
She normally takes notes.
In the show notes, I have to write down everything that we talked about. Uh-huh. Because when I put this together later on, I'll be like, what the hell did we talk about?
Do you do bullet points and everything?
No, just like general.
Did you take notes in college or anything like that, Brandon?
Yeah, a lot of notes. Like, I'm having to throw them away now while going through all my crap.
Did you do everything in bullet point?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh.
That's how I absorb information.
I have to have, like, complete sentences.
Oh. It's all facts stuff. Like on IMDb, my brain is a gigantic IMDb of
a Brandonpedia
shit that I've learned. It's a very short list.
Okay.
Short list.
So you guys went to a convention this past weekend.
Yes, we did. Yes.
So I have not been to a convention in over 2 years.
MegaCon?
I didn't get to go to MegaCon last year because the kid was graduating from kindergarten.
So she was not graduating from anything.
Well, kindergarten's a big deal. You learn how to tie your shoes.
That is true. No, I couldn't.
Talk to strangers.
Okay. We'll come back to that second one. But the first one, I was not allowed. On the day of my graduation, I had to learn how to tie my shoes.
Okay.
Because you wouldn't have been able to leave.
Because I would not have been able to leave.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And still, to this day, you don't untie your shoes because I think it's
that is no, that's inaccurate. Yeah. Okay. So yay for kindergarten graduation.
So kid. Graduated kindergarten.
Gotcha.
I wasn't going to be like, I can't be there. So the other...
Was it the same weekend? No.
Yes, it was the Friday, the start of MegaCon. They did Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
What month was this?
May.
Okay.
So they changed it from March to May last year.
Right.
Because another company took it over and they decided that they wanted 4 days instead of three and they were going to do it over Memorial Day weekend for whatever stupid reason. So I couldn't go. The other one that we would normally go to is the one in Myrtle Beach, the XCon World, whatever it's called.
I haven't even heard of this one.
Yeah. So the year that I took my daughter, the big name was the dude from Buffy, the friend, the Xander.
Xander?
Yes.
Oh,
he got arrested.
It had been right after he got arrested.
Okay.
Nicholas Brendon.
Yes.
Yes. So he was the big name, and it was Brian O'Halloran and Marilyn Gigliotti from Clerks.
Okay.
Those were the three big names. And...
Which they're not... who was the holdout on Clerks 3 is my question.
Randall. He never liked doing the movies.
But he did the second one after they came... So I thought...
They also fucked him over in some money.
On the second one. Oh, well,
That's why he wasn't on the third.
So you don't sign up for the third if they still owe you money.
Yeah, yeah.
So those were the names. And then they had people like anybody that was on The Walking Dead that would come to Myrtle Beach. So it was the kid that played...
Carl.
No, Carl Noah's brother that ends up biting Tyrese. And he played twins.
Tyrese from Fast and the Furious.
No.
No, we're talking about Walking Dead, dude.
I know, but it would be funny.
Isn't it Tyrese?
I don't remember anybody's name on that show.
Oh.
Except for
Carl.
He's
like the dude. And
Michonne.
Yeah, of course.
So they took this kid and they painted him like a zombie and they sat him at the table and nobody went to it.
Oh.
Aww.
And he was sitting next to a girl that was a deputy in the hospital over like a 4-episode arc.
Oh, so they didn't get like big names.
No. No, there was nobody big.
Well, because like, what was it last year? The voices of Anna and Elsa.
Frozen. The little girls were there. Yeah. But also like the one that kind of was heartbreaking to me because I hate to see anybody without tons of people at their table.
Right.
But the voice of Colossus in the Deadpool movie.
Oh, okay.
He was there. And his publicist was outside. I've seen the movie, obviously. Didn't see the table specifically. But he was giving an interview, and his publicist was trying to get people in the door.
Oh.
That's
cool.
Sad for the kids.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Really?
What? You hear this?
Yes, I
can. He's got headphones on.
We were not given headphones.
No. Well, no, you don't need headphones.
I can get some headphones in the house. Okay, you're interrupting.
So, last year when that came around again, it was the top people were from the TV show Face Off.
We met Nora this weekend.
It was those three,
and like there were three of them, and I was like, I don't really care about meeting any of these people.
She wasn't even there as a
person. She wasn't a guest.
She was just hanging out.
A former student, though, of Tom Savini.
Yeah, and she came with Tom Savini to see him.
Okay, so there was nobody there that I wanted to meet. Gotcha. I wasn't going to drag the kid up on a 2-hour drive nothing.
Or a 3-hour tour.
Yeah. So I actually haven't been to a con of any kind in couple of years.
I think we're going to 2 next year if you want to come with us.
Yeah. So I'm going to Star Wars Celebration
in Orlando.
April.
Yeah. John was able to hook up some tickets. So.
Nice.
Sweet.
We actually had a conversation about that yesterday. Who was,
Brian's going.
Yeah. Our friend Brian is going. He was telling us about the lineup. Ian McDiarmid?
McDermott.
Yeah. And Billy Dee is going to be there.
But
as well.
So Ian McDermott, what's her name? Was in Rogue One. Felicity Jones. She wants $300 for an autograph.
Yeah. That's insane. Billy Dee Williams wanted $75 at Mad Monster Party.
But that's at least like in the ballpark. I mean, he's Billy Dee Williams. Let's be honest.
I mean, Norman Reedus, the last time I was at MegaCon was $90. Yeah.
Anything under $100, I would say, is in the ballpark of
$325 is ridiculous, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know who told her that was a good idea.
I can buy Disney. A little R2-D2 for that.
You can buy a big R2-D2 for that.
Well, see, I thought this is my mistake. In talking to Brian, I thought that I associated it with Disney weekends or Star Wars weekends at Disney.
Okay.
So I didn't know that this was the separate Star Wars event. Yeah,
this is the separate. This is the thing that Lucasfilm puts on.
Okay, so I thought that it was actually being held by Disney. So when I heard that, I was like, okay, Disney is like in the realm of charging, you know, $50 for ice cream and fireworks.
But see, for Star Wars weekends, nobody charged for autographs. Like when you went up and met people, they would set them up down this path in these little stand-ups.
Right.
And you literally could just go up and wait in line and meet them.
Okay.
Which is something that I feel like, I don't know how Mad Monster is, but one of the things that I hate about MegaCon now is you can't just go up and say hi.
You can do that.
They encourage you to come say hi. They're like, you know, if you don't have enough money, totally get that. You paid enough to even be here. Right. Like, if you have a question, just come ask us, you know, come say hey.
That's the thing that I hate about MegaCon, because you can't do that now. You can't sit there and say, hey, I love your work.
Yeah.
Can I just shake your hand?
Yeah.
They want money.
Oh, no. Everybody was like, we walked up to several different people. Like, there was a wide spray of people. Mm-hmm. That's not.
I mean, back in the day, you could. Like, back in the day, one of the first ones I went to, my wife and I were walking around, and the dude that plays the Crypt Keeper.
John Kassir.
We met him.
Came walking up to us because she was wearing a Miko t-shirt.
Oh,
and
nice.
He had done the voice of Miko in Pocahontas.
Yeah.
So he came up and was like, love your shirt, blah, blah, blah. And like had a conversation for like 15 minutes.
He's super nice.
And said, all right, I got to go sign now. And we're like, cool, thanks.
Cool.
And he walked away. But like, you can't just walk up to people now.
We walked up to him and got his autograph because it's, you know, it's John Kassir. So I was in Reefer Madness, the musical. Here locally. But like I walked up to him, I'm like, yeah, I played the lecturer, and he's like, the Reefer Madness. I was like, yeah. And he's like, what's your name? I'm like, Brandon. He's like, what's going on? Da da da. I'm like, we're gonna come back and take a picture with you when everything settles in. He's like, thanks, that sounds great. And then when we walked up to him the next day, he knew me by name.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
and I had the Tales from the Crypt CD, the Christmas CD.
Right.
I don't remember the name of it.
Tales from the Cryptmas. That's not true.
No, I don't think that's right. But he signed that. He's like, wow, these are cool, you know. He was a great guy.
Tales from the Crypt.
Let's write that one down.
That'd be awesome. They're going to release a Gang Wars set of CDs. It's going to be Tales from the Crypt and Sunday Bloody Sunday.
That's
not true.
Okay.
That's a good lie.
So that's one of the things that I miss. And the smaller cons I know are like that. You can go up and still say stuff. But all the big ones.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to be able to go up to Peter Mayhew and say, look, huge fan of your work. I've been watching you since I was 3. Like,
yeah.
Like,
it's the difference between, like, stardom and, like, people that are just people. Like,
yeah.
Well, there are certain people that you don't do that with. Like, I didn't walk up to Billy Dee Williams and say, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, thanks for everything. No, I did walk up to his publicist and say, you are awesome. Because he basically helped run the panel with Billy Dee Williams, a Q&A with Billy Dee Williams. But at the same time, you know, even he was kind of put off by the fact that someone just walked up to him and shook his hand.
Wow.
You know, I think he was just doing something else. He was on his phone at the time.
He was 100% doing something else.
He, from what I remember, when he used to do Star Wars weekends, he was a real pain in the ass.
Billy Dee Williams?
Yeah.
Or his...
No, Billy Dee Williams. Like he
was kind of a big deal.
He wouldn't sign certain things.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a list. I think it was like 5 or 6 items long. At his table, I don't know if you saw this, Brandon.
Things that he would sign or things that he wouldn't sign?
Yeah, like things that, it was like, taking a photo with me. It was, bring your own item. It was like, we won't sign this, 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 and this.
Yeah,
probably a Colt 45.
And then, if you want a signature on a piece of paper, if you want a signature on a poster, if you want one, if you want some of my artwork, if you want this, that, and the other. It was just like this long laundry list.
Yeah. I think he's mellowed. I think that's mostly publicity or his manager, you know. That's driven by them because he was pretty mellow.
I mean, and that
and mellower than I remember him, like in interviews about 5 or 10 years ago.
Okay, because like Star Wars weekends, they pay pretty well to get the people there.
Yeah,
yeah.
So when you won't sign something, they get kind of antsy because it's like we're paying you a shitload of money,
like
when,
thousands of dollars.
Well, when
tens of thousands of dollars.
When the last Star Wars weekends that they had, it was Mark Hamill.
Year before last.
Yeah, two years ago.
Yeah,
before
yeah.
they tore the park apart.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Before there were 2 brides left.
Yeah. Mark Hamill's deal was $150,000 for the weekend, and he didn't have to sign anything, and he didn't take any pictures.
What?
Man.
So he rode in the parade.
Yeah.
And did his Q&A. Hour-long show.
Yeah.
And that was
it. That was it.
$150,000.
Dang.
Jeez.
And apparently he's batshit crazy.
Yeah,
maybe
but
maybe they didn't want him.
He had a motorcycle accident, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in a motorcycle accident, I think you're allowed to be crazy. Please see the dude from Point Break, Gary Busey.
Oh, Gary Busey, yeah. Gosh. Well, that's what happens when you don't wear a helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should.
And then you get those
helmet.
Big funky fake teeth.
Is that what are they? Are they fake? No, his son has the same teeth. They can't be fake.
I thought those were fake. I thought, like, because he knocked all his teeth out.
I'm sure they're fake, but they're just replicas of the same ones he had.
I don't know.
Well, they probably couldn't find all of them.
You've seen Jake Busey. He looks the same way.
Oh.
Let's do an hour-long conversation on Jake
About
Busey.
Teeth?
Let's do an hour-long conversation on Shasta McNasty.
I don't know what that is.
Shasta Huda?
That was you guys don't remember that long-lived TV show that he was on?
Shasta McNasty.
I don't know.
It did like 5 episodes.
Was this around the same time that Homeboys from Space?
Maybe. Maybe.
And what was the one with the President of the United States? Like, and his slave that was on? Yeah.
The President and his slave.
Yeah.
It was, are you sure this wasn't just a
trope? Oh, trust me. It was in the early days of UPN.
Okay.
Oh, UPN.
Wow. Okay.
The Urban Programming Network.
Yes. Mm.
Is that what it was? I think that's
no,
what
it was the well, United Paramount Network.
Wow.
No, the
I was just super Urban racist on Reddit.
Yes, you were.
Yeah. If you,
well, you're talking about a president and a slave, so.
Well, no, if you watched the early days of UPN, it was the Urban Programming Network, let's be honest.
Let's see.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you.
Jake Busey wasn't in that show. I'm going to find this show to prove.
Oh, man.
That it existed. Oh my gosh. Hey, we're.
You know, everybody. Can we play music at this point? Yeah.
While we're looking up things on our phone?
No.
Do. Do you want mine?
No.
Okay.
No.
UPN.
It's all part of the charm of the show, is all the fuck ups.
President show.
Oh, Jake Busey's going to be in The Predator.
Really? His dad was in Predator.
Yeah, exactly.
Predator 2.
Yeah.
Maybe he's coming back. He's back and he's pissed off.
Yes. Wow, Jake Busey.
The Secret Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer.
Okay.
This is direct from Wikipedia.
Oh.
The secret. Hold on. The story is a black English nobleman named Desmond Pfeiffer, chased out of England due to gambling debts, becomes President Abraham Lincoln's valet. In the show, he serves as the intelligent and erudite backbone of a Civil War era White House populated by louts and drunkards. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Erudite. Oh, I'm going to have to GTS that.
GPS that?
No. Google that shit. GTS.
Oh.
Where's my thesaurus? Rex.
Thesaurus.
So Shasta McNasty did...
This is just a Wikipedia hour.
Yes.
Shasta
McNasty. How many episodes? Wait a minute.
I guess just 5, right?
No, that's actually a lot more.
Oh.
Really?
Yes, it did.
Was this Jake or
Gary? It did 22 episodes.
IMDb gave it a 6.5.
What?
For Shasta McNasty?
For Shasta McNasty.
I think, like, The Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl 22. Has it, like, a 7.5, yeah. So.
22 episodes.
Yeah, I mean,
gosh.
I remember watching it.
Oh, wow. Like,
I guess I didn't watch them all.
Completely unrelated topic. The spinoff of Out of Sight, Carla Gugino, and the Out of Sight spinoff. That was an excellent show.
Out of Sight?
Yeah, the Steven Soderbergh film.
Okay.
Carla Gugino plays Jennifer Lopez's character, and I can't remember the name of the TV show because I don't remember the name of the character.
Okay.
If you could write into the show, the email here is...
info@dancewiththepodcast.com.
And tell us that, because we're not Googling that right now. While Chris fixes his...
Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay.
What are you talking about, Out of Sight now?
Out of Sight. Okay, so the Steven Soderbergh film, Out of Sight.
Yeah.
It was with George Clooney.
Jennifer Lopez.
And excellent
and
turns
Ving
by...
Rames.
Ving Rhames, wasn't that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So was Steve Zahn and...
Catherine Kinnear.
Who plays...
Dennis Farina?
In the movie or the TV show?
The movie.
Oh.
Dennis Farina played her dad in the TV show as well.
I don't think I've ever seen the TV
show. Oh, Don Cheadle's in it.
Don Cheadle. Yeah, it's an excellent. It's the best. This is coming from like after Jackie Brown. It's the best Elmore Leonard adaptation. Maybe side by side with Get Shorty.
Okay.
Because Steven Soderbergh did that one, and then Get Shorty was done by Steven, the guy who did Men in Black.
Steven Soderbergh.
Soderbergh did Magic Mike, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, and. Other such properties.
Other such.
I can't remember it. This is all off the top of my head.
Gosh, Brandon.
But anyway, yeah. Karen. Crap. I can't remember. Karen anyway. Crap.
Barry Sonnenfeld?
Barry Sonnenfeld. He did the new series of Unfortunate Events.
He did?
Yeah. Have you watched that?
No, I haven't.
Speaking of Men in Black, we also saw...
We saw Brian,
Bill Bryan. He signed a Billy. Signed the picture, Billy.
Who's that?
Bill Bryan did the Marshmallow Man, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
He was the guy in the suit.
He was the one
and
in the suit.
And the one who fabricated the suit as well.
Yeah, and also did some stuff on Child's Play.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that tie in the Men in Black?
Oh, because he also... Sorry.
The slug monster.
Who what?
The big airport scene.
Okay.
So he's talking about it, and he's like, we did... He basically turned it over to L.A., and said, hey, if you can come up with a crazy alien, send it to us and we'll put it in the movie or won't. So he sent in his design and he took basically a plastic bag and he just, you know, melted some stuff in it and made it real gooey.
Okay.
And then that slug creature that approaches J&K in the airport sequence when he first comes down.
The first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then like breathed into the bag where it
Oh, and he says don't touch him. He's grumpy?
That's it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's grumpy. Yeah. He was actually created that suit and was in that suit.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He created the concept of actually like making it different.
It was done with a plastic bag.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Some of the best ideas are.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So, cons. Beauty. Is where we were well, 35 minutes ago.
So you guys just came back from Mad Monster Party.
Mad Monster Party.
Correct. Which was not held in Charlotte this year.
It was not.
Rock Hill.
It was Rock Hill, South Carolina.
It was.
Yes.
Which
it's Mad Monster Party Carolinas now. Is what
now.
They said. Yes, instead of North.
So is there Charlotte. A reason why
they never they moved really it? Said?
It could be money. It could be bathrooms.
Could probably the bathrooms.
Oh.
Because you could. Okay. I thought about like from logistically from both points of view.
Very true.
I think this may be a little bit old in the news, but the bathroom issues with North Carolina, where where they may have an issue getting talent to come to North Carolina.
Oh, okay. So if they say it's in South Carolina,
they're like, okay. So we
just
think it should
have
be in Charleston
problem,
though, because I mean Charleston's a pretty place. You're fine.
Mad Monster kind of has gotten to a point where it was in the ballrooms at a Sheraton at one point.
Right.
About 4 years ago when we first went, and it was super hot, and they addressed that issue by taking it to another hotel in North Carolina for 2 years.
I think the Sheraton's where they moved it to. Some other place.
Ramada
before.
Plus.
Because didn't they have stuff like out in a parking lot? In a
yes.
Tent?
They did this year.
They did well. Okay. Yeah, this year, and actually every year that we've had it, except for at the Sheraton. They've had to have a tent.
Yeah.
Okay.
So at the Sheridan, they basically just had a ballroom for the panels, smaller ballrooms for the photo ops, the huge ballrooms for the vendors who come to sell everything, and as well as the guests to sign, and then another smaller ballroom as a screening room for smaller
for
independent horror films.
Okay, so it's a typical con then.
Yes,
it's very. Okay.
It's got a lot of film though. I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
there were
it's got an entire,
so many. Films.
It's had that every year, but we've never gone to it because we enjoy going to the Q&A and the panels. I think it was smaller this year. In some ways, due to attendance.
In attendance.
When I saw the guest list, it didn't seem as big as in years past.
It was the same size, but the anchor talent, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like the anchor talent was Billy Dee Williams.
Big. Oh, yeah.
That was some
of
the
last year it was like George Romero. Right?
Yeah.
George Romero and Malcolm McDowell.
Right.
Those were their two big draws.
But again, I don't know if it's because of Rock Hill versus Charlotte. I mean... As far as it being able to be easy to get into and out of real quick, as far as major airports are concerned, with the talent, if they're having to go like
to
place
Charlotte
to place.
And then drive down to Rock Hill,
So it might be a kind of time constraint there.
They did have Sid Haig there, who's a horror icon,
right? Yeah, he's from
Kane Hodder,
House of a Thousand Corpses, and Devil's Rejects,
right? And Kane Hodder was Jason Voorhees in 7, 8, and 9 of Friday the 13th,
and they had Bill Moseley there, right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
He was in both.
He's
of those
been
too.
There before too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and Tom Savini has been there.
And Tom Savini has been there, I think, almost every year.
There were about 10. No, well, there was 1 year where he wasn't there. There were about 10 or so people that were there.
That are constantly there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's good. You know, that means if you didn't get it this year, then you may get it this year. Or you liked their signature, and so you want it again.
Right.
So everybody was really, really nice this year.
I really enjoyed Munster coach. That was really cool.
Butch Cassidy.
Yes.
Wow. Where'd you pull
Butch
that
Patrick.
From?
Patrick and Pat.
Hey, I know my monsters.
Is that on your notebook?
No. Nope.
Patricia, what's her last name?
Heaton. Patricia Heaton from Home Improvement.
Okay, well, anyways, they were there with the cars. It was pretty neat.
Hold on.
The last con that I went to, I was...
Pat Priest is who you're thinking.
Pat Priest. Yes. Sorry. I was sitting... I was waiting for John to get finished with something. He was getting pictures taken, I think, with Barbara Eden. And
Barbara Eden from Bewitched?
I Dream of Jeannie,
sorry.
And nice. I was standing next to, in the middle of the signing things, and the Dukes of Hazzard people were on my left, and it was Butch Patrick.
John Schneider.
And Lori Petty was next to him.
That's weird.
Which is a really weird draw for... It was like some fanboy thing is what it was called. So I was trying to get a shot on my camera of Lori Petty because she looked like she was high as a kite.
And
like,
she was
wearing this gigantic hat and glasses, and like you wouldn't know it was her unless I had pointed it out. So I had my camera in my hand, and I'm going like... I'm kind of scanning around, and I'm like, I'm just going to try to scan... to my right and see if I can get a shot. And I look to my right and Butch Patrick is like right here in my face and like inches from me. And he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, just filming. And he's like, what are you filming for? And I said, we do a podcast and sometimes we do video stuff. He goes, oh, you want an autograph? And I said, no, I'm okay. And he goes, then you're going to have to go. And I was like,
awesome.
Okay. Thanks. I was That's like, I got kicked out by weird. Butch Patrick. It's like, all right.
That's
I watched
amazing.
You as a kid. Yeah. And like, now you're throwing me out away from the table. Dick. But like, like it was literally a space. There was like a door behind me. And I was standing in that spot. Like there was an aisle that kind of, that's where the intersection was. Yeah. And like the Dukes of Hazzard were on the left. And it was all three of them. It was the three major people.
That's oh, Daisy.
Yeah. Luke Duke.
Luke, and, yeah. Not, so you didn't Luke have the cousins.
And, no, it wasn't the cousins.
Which I thought the Care Bear cousins and the Dukes of Hazzard cousins should have a crossover show.
Yeah. But it was really weird. Like, so I walked across and I was like, well, I'll just shoot her from the front. And I looked up and she was staring at me.
Which I'm sure
me.
She's heard that a lot.
she had taken her glasses off and she was staring at me. And I was I'm going to
really going to go now. Now.
Yeah. Wow. Was this, where was, which con was this?
This was Fanboy Expo in Florida.
I don't know. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah.
But I hadn't heard of Mad Monster until we started going to it.
But they had a bunch of like staple, like TV icons. They had Barbara Eden and Ed Asner and,
John Schneider and Tom Wopat.
Those two. And then, Don Wells.
Don Wells.
From, Marianne from,
oh, the from Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had like Mini-Me and Vern Troyer and John Heder was there. John Heder, like the most uninterested I think I've ever seen anybody at a con.
John Heder. Well, he's Mormon. What do you expect?
Well, but like people would come up and he'd be like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you trying to be like Napoleon Dynamite? Are you like just going to run with that? Or are you actually going to talk to people?
I think like, he's like, I think he's there for I show. Think he's inverted a lot.
I don't know.
Introverted.
Then
not
don't
inverted.
Come to
he's
a con.
He's introverted.
Yeah.
Like, if you're introverted, don't come to a con.
Let me tell you, I have a friend who is at all of these conventions. Like, and he's at more conventions than we are, and conventions that these people would kind of repeat at. So yeah. He's in Atlanta, he's in Charlotte, he's at these. And he always says that Tom Savini always looks like he's one step away from punching somebody. And it is 100% true.
Is it?
Yeah, it is very, very true. Now, okay. That's not to say that Tom Savini is, or he's a bad guy, or whatever else. He just always looks like he's ready to... like somebody will walk up to him and be like, hey, Tom, punch in the face.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yeah. But, I mean, even when we got him to sign, like,
yeah,
2 or 3 years ago,
he
was a little
bit...
Well,
he doesn't touch the money. He doesn't collect the money. Yeah. He's like, give it to this person. And it's like, you want an autograph? And it's like, I was like... Can I take a picture with you? I was very scared to ask him, but I did. He's like, yeah. It's like, cool.
And again, this is...
And then he smiled. He's all smiles and everything, but it's just...
Nice guy, but he's the most standoffish that we've met.
Right.
But like, at least in this convention.
In the beginning, I thought it was really weird when I would see people with like a money handler.
Yeah.
But now it's really weird to see them when they don't.
Right. Because, when they're taking... You're like, oh, you can't...
Because a couple of years ago at MegaCon, Lou Ferrigno was making change, and I was like, that's sad.
Where did the change come from?
and a little.
No, I'm just kidding.
Smash.
Well, he had a fanny pack, and he would dig in there and get money out, and he'd hand it back, and it was like, sad. Oh, that's how far you've fallen.
A lot of stars these days have their children now that'll come with
them.
Yeah.
The gentleman who
Riku Browning,
Who was the Creature from the Black Lagoon, mm-hmm. his daughter actually came, and she and he were very, very sweet together.
Interesting story too. Like, I didn't realize he had so much to do with Flipper. Like, he and his buddy created Flipper
and
like,
trained wrote tiger the book, sharks.
Wrote the book. And they train sharks as well.
Don't you were do building that. To that, weren't
Don't
you?
Do that at home.
Did I ruin your build?
Well, it's blown now. So. Kind of like the shark from Jaws. Still looks fake.
Yeah. Riku Browning was talking about how he's like, yeah, we saw Lassie on TV. And we're like, we can do that with a dolphin. And did. Wrote the book, sold the TV rights, and then was training tiger sharks like a year and a half later.
Wow.
And he's like... He said it was the most weird thing. It was the weirdest story. But he's like, yeah, basically you catch the tiger shark, and then you hold on to it, and then you let it go when you want and hope that it goes in the direction that you want it to. And if it doesn't, then you re-catch it. And then it sometimes will attack you, so you stop trying to catch it and go find another tiger shark.
Oh.
And apparently they just like the way that he swim. That he swam. As the creature.
Okay.
And then brought him back for return,
mm-hmm.
or revenge. Revenge of the creature.
The second one.
Yeah, because the guy who
is that the one where they capture him and they put him in a
It's aquarium? Jaws 3, but with the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
They did that. Do you guys watch Svengoolie on MeTV?
I've never even heard of MeTV.
Mm-mm. So when we cut cable here, we put an antenna. I have an antenna in the attic, and we get all like that
for their channel. For the listening audience, he's pointing.
Yeah, whatever. They know what I mean.
Well, he didn't get it illegally, is what he's saying.
Right. So
he has an antenna.
Can we post blueprints of your home?
No. Okay. So he
check the show notes.
Yeah. So there's a channel called MeTV, and they play nothing but retro TV.
Okay. Is this what basically like 24 or 36 was? When you didn't grow
when
up here.
UPN became WB.
No, yeah. So we had a whole... Well, we had 2, 4, and 5, which was like ABC, NBC, CBS. And then we had 7, which was PBS. And then we have UPN and WGN and...
Okay. It's kind of like that, but it's kind of like TV Land, but on a budget.
Okay.
Nice. And it's one of the ones that are free over air here.
Yeah.
And on Saturday nights, they do Star Trek... At 9, at 10, there's a guy out of Chicago called Svengoolie, and he dresses kind of like a vampire.
Tell me it's like Gremlins 2-esque.
Oh, yeah. It's like Elvira. It's like a male version of Elvira.
Amazing. The 80s, like when we were growing up, like watching those horror movies late at night.
But like current. Like
that's crazy.
Like we're going to have to watch this. Still shooting, like every week he does another...
That's amazing.
Does he have a fog machine?
Yes, and he's in a casket.
And a cough.
In the beginning.
That's amazing.
And they throw rubber chickens at him?
No!
Yes. No way.
No!
Yes, you're swear kidding to God. Me. Swear to
oh
God.
Oh my God.
Apparently, this started back in the 70s with an original guy called Svengoolie. And then
yes!
This guy decided that he wanted to take over the mantle, so he called himself Son of Svengoolie. And then the original Svengoolie said, no, just take the name.
Yes, I remember this. Wow. This is when they were selling the Universal package. Or like of like B horror movies from like the late 60s, and then they went back and did the original lot. There's a whole documentary on these people.
So Svengoolie a couple of months ago did Return of the Creature of the Black Lagoon.
Okay, Revenge,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So he did that movie, and like he'll break in at commercials, and he'll talk about the cast and how certain things were filmed, and if you guys like old, like really old horror films. This is something to watch.
We've watched a lot of them.
I know. Because you watch a lot.
I'm a completist. So basically, we watch a lot of older horror movies based on rides that we've seen. So there's at Universal Studios, there's a Universal Horror Makeup Show.
Right.
So there's around 75 featured films in that ride alone. So if there's a 2-second clip of it inside watched that entire movie.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So... Plan 9 from Outer Space, Manos, Hands of Fate. Well, you guys haven't watched Manos.
This is Svengoolie.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we put that in the show notes?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Chris will put... No, I'm just kidding. Sure.
Chris will put that in the show notes.
Chris will put that in the show notes.
So, yeah. MeTV, I'm sure there's a cable. Like, if you have cable, it's got to be on there somewhere.
That's amazing. Yeah.
CBS is no longer on AT&T UVerse.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
They couldn't reach an agreement.
So, during March Madness, which CBS owns, they cut just so AT&T would be screwed.
Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah, so we get that, and we also get one called Heroes and Icons, which is it's Xena and Hercules.
Yes.
And starting at 8 o'clock to 2 a.m., they do all of the Star Trek series.
So it's everything syndicated from the late '80s, early 90s.
Yeah, and they do them. Their big thing was like it's called All Trek, where they go from beginning to end with each. So like if it's episode 5 of season 5 of one of the shows, it's season 5 episode 5 of the other shows.
Well, they almost all ran 7 seasons except for the first one.
Except for the first one and Enterprise. So but they show them constantly, and it's like if there's nothing on, it's just click that on.
But this is my issue with that.
Complete sentences?
No. Okay. So like we're getting ready to rewatch Buffy and Angel.
Okay.
Which is leaving Netflix as of April 1st. Huh?
Because of the anniversary?
Because of the anniversary. It's the 20th anniversary of Buffy premiering.
Okay.
20 years ago that came on.
Okay.
So
I got a question at the end of this.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry. I'll hurry then. Buffy season 1, 2, 3, and then Buffy season 4, Angel leaves so that he can start Angel investigations in Los Angeles, right?
Right.
So season 4 of Buffy and Angel season 1 are where they cross over. But like there are certain episodes in Voyager and Deep Space Nine and Next Generation and Deep Space Nine where they cross over, but they wouldn't be within the same seasons. So my brain would not like watching those shows in that order specifically.
Okay. Okay.
Question.
So my question.
I'm OCD, Chris.
Is there's a ton of other shit to watch on TV. Yeah. Why go back to something that you've already watched?
Buffy's my favorite television show.
Okay.
Of all time.
Farscape is mine, but I don't go back and watch it constantly.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't go back and watch.
You've watched it 3 times?
With you. I've watched the entire series like maybe 11 times.
How many episodes?
The original series, 160 or so.
So that's 160 hours times 11.
And then about 100 episodes of Angel, too, because I watch them all at the same time.
But ask him what else he watches as well.
Well, I know. Like, well, that's thing. A like, lot. Like, you're constantly watching everything.
Yeah, I watch about... right now, we've got into the DVR, we've got about 56 programs. And I'm on
56?
Yeah. And I'm on a separate list now on my own where I'm actually trying to watch every single television show that Netflix has released that's not a kid show.
It's called addiction.
Television. Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, as far as addictions go, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Like, there's way worse things to be addicted to. Yeah. But, like, there's so much new content, especially on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm trying to absorb it all.
He's taking that in as well.
Jeez.
Yeah, all the new, like, Netflix original things. Mm-hmm.
This is why we're not watching any like old television right now between the group of us.
Okay.
Because the group of us is actually watching like all the staples like Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, Face Off. We're watching Face Off, Legends of Tomorrow. Those Goldbergs. There's around 10 or 15 shows that we watch as a group, and then around 40 or so that I watch by myself.
Well, you can forget Legends of Tomorrow.
What?
It's a horrible show.
Well, yeah. They bring everybody together.
There are.
Well, that's the only good part. But
that's the only good part for me.
But when you have a character like Firestorm,
and
where you don't
never
have the money
Firestorm?
To make him in the Firestorm, you got to rethink what you're doing.
Yeah, I would agree.
The episode where they go and they meet George Lucas, I was like, yeah, we've reached a meta point in this where they shouldn't ever go.
But at times it gets really good, and at times it gets really bad. It's really weird.
Well,
it's never consistent.
No, that's the same reason I keep watching Gotham. Like, Gotham is completely inconsistent, and like I keep going, oh, here's a really good episode. This is going to be great, and then the next one is like, oh, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
But that's the whole thing. Is like, if okay, so this is where my addiction and your inconsistency, however you want to call it, in these shows is.
Okay.
If we stop watching Gotham, they will take it off the air.
Well, yeah.
And they will replace it with something else.
And a bad superhero show is better than no superhero show.
Well, I'm with you, but it's the same way I feel about musicals. Like, most musicals that I go to movie theaters and watch are really bad. And I love musicals. And so if I stop going to movie theater to see those, then they'll stop making them.
Yeah, but I don't think the superhero genre is in trouble.
Well, I'm not saying the superhero genre is in trouble, but if we stop watching Gotham specifically, well, because I, like you, watch every single episode of that show.
But maybe they'll make a better Batman show if people are pissed off.
But if they would have to stop watching first. Oh. They didn't stop watching Smallville for 10 years, but Fox is not WB.
Fox, Fox is known to just act something that's really popular.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Or X things. Well, I mean, I never watched Almost Human. Is it Almost Human?
I loved Almost Human.
I know you did.
I thought that was an awesome TV show.
The best way, though, and they did the same thing with Firefly, the best way to keep people interested is to play the episodes out of order in a serialized show, because that confuses everybody.
Yes, so exactly.
It keeps everybody very, very interested. And
then change the nights 6 times.
Let me tell you. Yeah. They stuck with Minority Report, but God forbid if they should.
Sleepy Hollow and like all the other shit that's out there.
Sleepy Hollow is like my Gotham, because I watch Gotham too. Okay. It's that show where I'm like, you almost are getting really good, and then you just falter consistently. But I haven't watched the 4th season, so.
Okay.
There, I would imagine we're going to get one more season.
I mean, last time I was down a couple weeks ago, I was down with John, and he was watching Sleepy Hollow. And I was like, this show's still on the air? And he's like, yeah.
Yep.
I said, what's the plot? And he said the same thing that it always was. And I was like, really? How did I fucking draw that out?
There's certain procedurals that work like that. Like, what is that one that I watched? It's not... Like, Grimm, it kind of falls under that middle area.
That was another one that he was watching. And he was like, yeah, this is completely different than what, like, the pilot was.
Completely different.
Like, they've now gone in completely separate directions.
Well, it's closer to Buffy and Angel.
Like, they were in this weird, like, mirror universe or something, and they were being chased by this skull thing.
I haven't watched this season yet either.
Well, okay.
I don't get... I for some reason my DVR did not tape that show, so that's one I'm having to catch up on. Because there are certain shows that a tip for you guys watching on demand is that the on demand on your DVRs, if you're watching Stars or HBO or Showtime and those shows, they will keep them on there until about a month before the next season premieres.
Oh,
so I kind of wait for all 10 episodes.
Well, and
binge watch.
CW is going to be doing that on Netflix.
Huh.
With all the superhero shows, because they dropped their Hulu affiliation.
Thank God, because Hulu sucks.
So 2 weeks after the end of the seasons, they'll all show up on Netflix.
Which is helping out cool shows that are nobody's watching, like my Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, or Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Right.
Which are better if you're watching them all back to back to back.
Okay, if you say so.
Well, I'm saying so.
I watch enough CW... Just in the superhero shows, like the rest.
They're making
of
money off of me.
Do you watch Legion?
No.
Okay.
That's on Fox.
No,
that's on FX.
We cut the cable a couple of years ago, and we were watching stuff on Sling TV, and they didn't have FX, and we recently switched over to PlayStation View, and they do, but all the stuff that I've seen, it hasn't really caught my attention.
It's weird.
As far as Legion?
Yeah, it's...
I know it's like X-Men tie-in.
No, you can't.
Shit.
You can't. It's weird because it will completely change in tone from episode to episode.
Oh.
Like complete shifts in tone, which is exactly like the comic book and nothing like the comic book.
Okay.
I was just wondering if you would...
No, it's one to watch, but you have to stick with it.
You have to watch it too. You can't just like be doing other stuff.
I tried to make dinner one time.
Oh, see? Yeah, okay. There's certain shows I do that with, like Legends of Tomorrow has become a background thing.
Yes,
I can't watch it. Like, I got other shit to do.
Well, honestly,
like,
all the CW stuff.
The only reason that I continue to watch it is because they put it on after Flash.
Yeah.
Mm.
Channel stays on, and I let it go.
Well, that's why they moved it from Thursday to Tuesday, because nothing was doing it. But then they put you on Riverdale, which for some reason people are saying that they like.
John said he liked it. John was saying that, like... It shouldn't be called Riverdale,
right? It shouldn't.
But
it should be called Archie's Weird Tales.
But he likes the show. He likes.
It feels like it's 10 years too late.
Well,
it feels like it fit right into.
Nobody was asking for an Archie comic show.
But it would work though. I mean, if you put the Predator in there.
Well, put the Predator in anything.
Archie versus the Predator was a comic book series. Did you know this? Mm-hmm.
They did a bunch of weird comics with Archie. Like anything that they could just throw at Archie, they would just put in there. And
they're talking about basically bringing Sabrina the Teenage Witch, because Josie and the Pussycats are on the Riverdale.
Now. Yeah, right. I didn't realize that until I saw that one episode.
Because
they couldn't carry their own movie.
Mm.
So we're going to put them on
okay,
TV.
Let's...
Brandon likes that movie. Watch out.
Oh, my God. Why do we not love that movie? It's got me... Okay. It's got the people who directed Can't Hardly Wait. It's super meta. It's... That show... Have you seen that movie?
Once a long time
ago. And you didn't laugh until you peed?
No. I put it up there with Gem and the Holograms.
Like, no! No!
No. You know, get him?
I enjoyed
Jim and the Holograms too, but I don't.
Oh Jesus!
Jim and the Holograms was not a great or maybe even good movie, but I liked it personally. But Josie and the Pussycats is an awesome movie.
Do they get dressed in the leopard outfits?
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one. How do you not remember that of everything? I had a huge crush on pre-Operation Tara Reid.
Oh, okay. I'm glad that you clarified that.
Yeah, well, no.
Pre-op
Alan Cumming. No, but Rachel Lee Cook.
Okay.
Rachel Lee Cook was...
She's all that, though. That's her
she
movie.
She is all that.
That's her movie.
She is all that.
Okay.
And then, but it's Parker Posey and Alan Cumming as the backup cast, not to mention, like, Donald Faison from Scrubs. Seth...
McFarlane?
No, Seth
Green.
Green, and his best friend. Who's the guy? Other guy from who other works on a shoot? The show with the people.
Yeah,
that show.
That's narrowing it down.
He was in Can't Hardly Wait. He kind of looks like Ethan Embry. I don't know. Anyway, he was in that.
Okay.
And then, God, I hate you guys.
If there was only a device you could look this shit up that's on.
There is, but weird. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Because
why?
I should know all this stuff
well,
off the top
yeah,
of my
but
head.
You don't,
okay,
so...
but we just went over the fact of how much media you actually consume.
Yeah, not Rachel Lee Cook. And then Dawson. The girl who
what?
Plays Night Nurse in...
Dawson.
Rosario Dawson.
Okay.
Oh.
She's in that as well.
Brooke's going to be mad at you
she's
for that one.
She's super going to be mad at me. But that's like when she's getting super gorgeous and not just... When she's just regular gorgeous rather than the super gorgeous as she is now.
First world problems.
I know.
Jeez.
I know.
That's
so at the convention at Mad Monster.
Talking about first
so,
world
so
problems.
I did see some pictures that you guys posted.
Yeah.
This one was my favorite.
The dude that you guys met from Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
Yeah.
Mark
has
Patton.
Not aged well.
He has.
No.
Really?
He's, say what he's super old. Like, not super old,
oh
but
God.
Like, he's 50, 57. No, okay.
I just wanted
he
to say,
is amazing.
Mark,
no,
I love
he
you.
He looks amazing. He's
I'm
going
to send this
energy.
To you,
oh,
and you are the
it.
Nicest guy.
He's so nice.
Sat by Felissa Rose, who is also one of the nicest people.
Yes.
That's not to say that everybody there wasn't nice, but you two were standouts.
Were favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
They were great.
That's how
he looks
everybody
amazing.
Was really cool.
He just looked old in the pictures.
No. He looks amazing
like
for his age.
Like, I had to look it up who he was because I was like, I don't recognize him.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Okay,
well,
so think about
that's
this.
That's because he looks so young.
Yeah.
He should look older, but he just doesn't.
He came out, the movie came out in 85, 86, somewhere around there.
Right.
Mark Patton was 10 years older than the rest of the cast.
Okay.
So he is currently 57 years old.
Jesus.
And Felissa. So
that's not to say that's old, but like, you know, you go, oh, okay, well, you do look older. But then you realize that he's like 57, and you're like, okay, you don't look nearly as old as, you know, other people that I know that are 57 who look 87.
Oh, that's true.
And Felissa is in her.
Maybe she's 57. Let me see how
old I don't know.
He
she's,
is.
She's 50, still.
I think she's 57, and she doesn't
she's
look to be over
gorgeous
like 35.
Too.
Did you give my message to Ann Lowry?
Who?
Ann Lowry from Cat People?
I couldn't find her.
Oh.
I tried to. But like, I tried to find her. Yeah.
She was my first crush.
I think I saw her in passing, but I think she was. So we spent a lot of her. We normally don't spend a lot of time on the showroom, and then we do like a few laps just to kind of get everything. And then the last day, we kind of get autographs.
Okay.
And then.
He's 53. Sorry, Mark. 53.
He's 53. Oh, I'm sorry.
She must be a 57.
Oh, holy shit. You guys just dissed him.
No. I knew 57 was somebody, and I couldn't remember
so
who at
53,
said it.
Does he still look good?
Yeah.
Of course.
Looks great.
Of course he does.
And
Felissa
that's
Rose.
Literally only 10 years older than me.
Then you look young
Gosh.
As well, friend.
Okay.
If you can look as good as Mark Patton when you're 53.
Okay.
But right. Felissa Rose is 50s. How old is she? Oh, she was born in 69.
I'm sorry.
You're like two years old over here.
Yes, because a 2-year-old would know what 69 is.
12.
Train them young, guys.
Yeah.
Why would you? Why would you go? Because you're 2 years old.
Shut your mouth. I don't know, man.
2 years old.
You need to hush. You need to stop.
But, like, so there were a lot of great people there.
Anyways, Phyllis Rose was amazing.
Phyllis Rose was amazing.
She was great.
Carolyn Williams from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-hmm. It was her birthday. She was having a birthday cake. We've celebrated a couple birthdays at Mad Monster parties.
Including William Shatner.
Yeah. 2 years ago?
We sang him happy birthday 4 years ago.
Yeah.
That was 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Was it four?
Well, because that was the panel with the Twilight Zone panel. It was the first one we ever went to.
I gotcha.
And that was actually in a tent outside.
Yeah.
Which this one was too, but they don't put any fans in there. Let me tell you, if there was one thing that I would change about Mad Monster, out of everything that I could change, because there's pluses and minuses to any con this size, it's the technical team there, as far as inside of the Q&A sessions.
Okay.
Because they do a really shitty job of putting up the actual tech, and then they talk when people are actually being interviewed.
Like, why are you, of all people, talking? They're being rude.
Wait,
like,
so the tech team?
The tech
team. Are in the back talking over the people that are doing the Q&As.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah,
it's
a little bit.
Super.
So I've done a lot of live stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're not supposed to be talking during any of that shit. You're supposed to be paying attention, like riding levels.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Well, you have one guy who kind of watches the board, but he's not really paying attention. They have unidirectional speakers.
But you can't sit off to the side and hear anything with those.
I wonder how much they're being paid. Like, sounds like it's almost a volunteer thing.
I would do it for free. And I would do a better job.
Well,
and not talk to people.
Not talk to people.
Well,
but like, so they put up a film screen, which they had to have for Billy Dee Williams, because Billy Dee Williams had like a press reel beforehand. And
like,
then,
you don't know who he is,
just in case he wanted to know which parts we liked the most, is what his manager said.
Yeah,
you know, cheer at the parts you like.
Yeah,
I liked him as Harvey Dent because he was hardly in it.
Oh,
like, no, aww. I'm just kidding. But like.
Well, he actually talked about that. He said Tommy Lee Jones. He has a great respect for Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Which in the original interviews, if you remember those from the Blu-ray that was released like 10, 15 years ago,
he
was not as kind to Tommy Lee Jones.
He really wanted to be Two-Face,
said. Because he was promised that he would come back as Two-Face.
That's what you get with Joel Schumacher, though.
Well, that's what you get with any...
Joel Schumacher.
Well, when the studios take over. I mean,
come on, let's be honest. He kind of topped out at Flatliners.
Well, but I mean, if... Tim Burton had still been doing it, I'm sure he would have gone back and said,
Yeah,
like, come on, like, we promised you.
Did they recast anybody other than him?
Batman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was
like,
stupid.
Let's four talk times. About this.
That's stupid on my part.
Hello.
But no, I mean, like, other than Batman, of course, I don't think they can recast anybody.
Well, yeah, but, like, look at who stayed around. Like, Michael Goff didn't really have a whole lot going on. The dude that played Commissioner Gordon, Pat
Healy?
No.
Who's Pat Healy then? Pat Healy, was she the voice of Ursula?
I don't know. Weird tangent.
Pat.
Her name is Pat. Well, she was supposed to be at Mad Monster
Hingle.
Last year.
Hingle. Like, that kind of, it didn't make his career, but like, he was like, oh, this is easy. Like,
he died.
Yeah.
He's dead.
So, I mean...
Most of the people in those movies are dead.
Well,
Pat Carroll is the voice of Ursula.
So, I mean, really, like, it's just the supporting cast that stayed on.
Yeah.
And then, like, Chris O'Donnell's not going anywhere. Like,
what? Okay, Chris O'Donnell should be a lot more famous than he actually is, I feel.
Lots of people should be. I mean, you look at a lot of people and you're like, what happened to you?
I don't understand. Because I like Chris O'Donnell. I felt like he had movie star quality talent. For certain, maybe certain films and whatnot, he wouldn't fit in. But I felt like if he had just been groomed just a little bit more, people would have caught on with him.
Yeah, well.
But
then you go and you make Batman and Robin, and there's nipples on the bat suit, and you're like,
that's not his fault.
No, but you get pigeonholed. And
that's
shit like that.
That's Joel Schumacher filmmaking right there.
Yep.
You get mockered, Schumachered.
Oh, poor Joel.
Pat Healy was in The Innkeepers.
Oh, Pat Healy's awesome. Pat Healy, if you're listening to this.
You're
If you're still listening.
No, he is. Oh, are we? Wow.
No, I'm just kidding.
He was in Cheap Thrills, the movie Cheap Thrills.
Yep.
It's on Netflix, I think, or Amazon, one of those two. It's an awesome movie. It's a little bit brutal.
Is it?
Yeah, it's if you like horror movies, Pat Healy in that movie. Pat Healy's in The Innkeepers. Pat Healy's in that. He's really,
in Magnolia.
He's in Magnolia.
Magnolia.
Yeah, but he probably wasn't a big part. I'd say to watch, if you're going to watch Magnolia for Tom Cruise, not Pat Healy. Sorry, Pat Healy.
Okay. If you say so.
Anyway, we saw Felissa Rose and Mark Patton.
If you haven't seen Sleepaway Camp.
Sleepaway Camp.
Have worth you seen a watch. Sleepaway Camp? Stick the landing.
Maybe. You know, there's a ton of shit that I've seen that I've kind of pushed out of my head.
Why?
Because there's
you
other
shit. You can't push this out of your head because if you've there's seen other it, you
shit to. You can never push this movie out of your head.
Okay.
It's the ending. Can't tell you, though. You have to watch it.
Maybe.
Sleep you would definitely
there
know.
Was so there was a movie this is going to be a weird tangent
no
but,
please go
but whatever there got, was a movie that my sisters and I watched and I feel like it was a horror comedy and it was about like a cheerleader camp
it's called Cheerleader Camp
where like they all died in really weird ways
cheerleader camp.
Is that okay I have vivid memories of like somebody that's drowning in a tub of milk
oh I haven't seen that movie
is it
20 years
okay
because that came out
well like, you were so sure I figured I just
no yeah there's Cheerleader Camp and then I think Cheerleader Camp 2 and 3 maybe
okay but like they die in really like oddball ways
that's the whole point of the movies oh so I'm on another list by the way
oh Jesus
I'm going through every single horror movie every single American released horror movie in the 1980s it's gonna take me a few years
okay
but it's gonna be on the list so I'll rewatch it eventually
okay tell me if I'm right. I have a vivid memory of somebody taking a milk bath with cookies in it and then the killer coming in and like drowning the person in the milk. And they find the girl in the milk with the cookies.
Put death. Milk bath death.
I was going to say milk bath with cookies.
If you look up milk bath, all you're going to find is Fergie.
With cookie kill.
With Cookie Kill?
With Cookie Kill. No, cookie
I,
kill. Cookie
I, kill. I love that cereal growing up.
Me too. Cookie Crisp. I don't know. I felt like that icon and the Hamburglar would have been friends.
Yeah.
The Hamburglar?
Yeah, the Hamburglar.
Why would he be friends with the milk bath?
So complete other tangent, and we'll talk about this on the next episode. But we went to the McDonald's Museum, the home of the very, very first McDonald's.
Oh, out on Route 66?
In California, okay. Yeah. That's an entire other
thing. I have seen, maybe?
So I watch a daily vlog from a guy named Justin Scard.
You should watch Percy Patchett's blog.
Well, okay. Go ahead, plug it, man.
No, I'm
go
just
ahead.
Kidding.
With so, Mr. Higgins.
We'll plug it at the very end where everybody stop listening.
He was in a punk band. In the 90s and that fell apart so now he is a YouTube guy and he lives in California but he's constantly on Route 66 and he's constantly going to places like that.
Yeah. He sleeping lives on Route 66 like
a, no, he lives in California.
Oh, okay.
He lives in Anaheim.
Yeah.
But he's constantly out on Route 66 looking at all the abandoned places and all the places like that.
Yeah.
And all the...
It was an eye-opener. Because you realize that the country's a lot bigger than it is. And again, we can talk about this in a later episode if you'll ever have us back. But it makes the world feel a lot smaller.
Does
as
it?
Well. Yeah. It's okay. Very, because like a lot of parts of Arizona look exactly like Beaufort.
Question for you, Chris. Did this movie have Carol Kane and Paul Rubens in it by any chance?
What the hell movie is that?
I don't remember.
It came out in 1982 called Pandemonium.
Life is pandemonium.
I don't remember if they were in it. I just remember certain aspects of it.
It says it's a...
I was a little kid when this came out.
Huh. Tracking down a killer who is stalking co-eds at a nearby cheerleader camp.
That's probably it.
Carol Kane. Let me see if I can get this plot.
In 1982, that's when you were what? 16? I'm kidding.
Fuck you.
Ew.
No.
That's around.
I was 8.
Chris looks 26 for all of you.
Yeah, whatever.
No, I mean, you seriously don't look. You don't look.
I don't look 42.
You definitely don't look 42. I was gonna say you don't really look over 40.
Oh.
Over
30, as it were. This movie now, with Paul Rubens.
Paul Rubens and Carol Kane.
Yeah.
Carol Kane was famous after Don't Answer the Phone. What was that one where she? Oh.
Scream.
No, she's in the house. So the call comes from in the house. When a Stranger Calls.
When a Stranger Calls.
Which was very, very similar to Frenzy in a lot of ways. Alfred Hitchcock's Frenzy. So while you're looking this up,
I don't know what I'm looking up anymore. I'm just reading about it. This is, I've left you guys, and now I'm reading this.
We went to a Q&A with Bill Bryan, who played the Marshmallow Man.
Right.
We went to a Q&A with Riku Browning, who again was Creature from Black Lagoon. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre panel with Bill Johnson, who was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. He was Leatherface in that. Okay. Bill Moseley, Carolyn Williams, and Tom Savini.
Okay.
And then the next day we went with Q&A with Sid Haig.
Oh, okay.
And then the next day he married somebody, but we didn't go to that.
Well, he didn't marry somebody. He was the officiant.
Oh.
he just made some chick that
he picked up on the side of the road?
The night before that, he was pouring drinks.
Oh. He was pouring drinks outside of the carnival.
Okay.
Billy D. Williams went to that. Friday the 13th, Q&A with Kane Hodder and Carl Buecher. John Carl Buecher. Buechler? I don't know. Anyway, he was the director of the movie. There was a Toho panel and Greasy Strangler panel, but we skipped those, unfortunately.
Okay.
Just because we have to eat at some point.
No.
Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 with Mark Patton. Mark, shout out to you.
Because I'm sure he's listening.
We'll make sure he listens. We'll write him something.
We will Twitter him.
Yeah.
He was a very nice gentleman. Who
We mentioned you on a third-rate podcast.
I would say this is its
second-rate.
Third-rate?
No.
Night of the Living Dead with John Russo, Judith O'Day, and Russ Steiner.
Okay.
And if I'm mispronouncing anybody's name, I'm sorry. Butch Patrick and Pat Priest. Butch Patrick kicked us out of the Q&A. He said, if you're not buying an autograph.
I don't think that's true.
It's not true.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, Butch Patrick is a little prick.
I can't find anything that says milk, but there's a tub. Does this look familiar?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's it.
It is Pandemonium that came out in 1982 with Paul Rubens.
So Paul Rubens is in
there. Rubens and Carol Kane.
Okay.
I want to watch this movie now.
Yes.
It can't decide on any sort of narrative arc.
It says,
it was...
A.K.A. Thursday the 12th.
Yes.
Thursday the 12th. Yeah, it was after Friday the 13th. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
There was a series of movies that came out that were kind of spoofing those things, like Saturday the 14th and Thursday the 12th.
Okay. Yeah, it was really bizarre.
Like, yeah, I mean, there's a Mountie.
Yep.
So this is after Paul Rubens had started. It started with the Groundlings in like 78, 82.
Right.
And then was doing Pee Wee Herman pretty consistently. Huh. And then by 86, he had brought Pee Wee to Broadway.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
That's bizarre.
And then 88 was, or maybe it was 84 that he brought Pee Wee to Broadway. And then it was 86 where that movie came out. Yeah, it had to be 86.
Okay.
Because then they did Beetlejuice in 88, and then Batman came out in 89.
Cheerleaders are shish kebabbed?
Yes.
I've seen that too, yeah.
All right.
Yep. Gosh. Yep.
Cool.
It's been 30 years since I've seen that movie.
So, mystery solved. Thank you, Kristen.
No problem.
All right, so if you guys are up for it.
Yeah.
Let's end the show and then do another one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
Can we do the next one in Spanish?
Yes, you can do it in whatever you want.
Si, senor.
All right, so so next week will be a continuation of this conversation. But if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all that shit. And let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
I'm Brandon.
And Kristen.
Have a good week.